let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter, here with Jason Miller, the legend, the myth.
AKA Mayhem.
Yes, AKA Mayhem. We're going to have a good...
Where are you, bro? Are you in like a... sort of, I don't know. Are you at a poker game?
I'm in Las Vegas. I'm on the 50th floor in Las Vegas, doing comedy at. I've never been to Resorts World. You ever been there,
buddy? I always wanted to go. Is it fun?
It is fun. It's just different. It's locked. It's super clean, and it's like it's all Asian people. You would love it. Like everyone here is like Asian downstairs, which is like. It's fun, but like you never just see like one Asian by themselves. There's always like 10 or like 15 Asian people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do call it a flock of Asians, I believe.
Yeah. And it's everything is like, it's super nice. It doesn't feel like Vegas, though. It almost feels like too, I don't know. Like, you know how like Vegas, you
just. It's like the Singapore of Vegas.
That is a perfect example of, yes, it's the Singapore of Vegas.
If you spit your zin in the urinal, you get flogged 50 times.
Dude, I'm seriously like normally, like you walk around Vegas at night, it's just like it's just prostitutes and then it's just hot messes and then people falling over and like degenerates and then but there's something, there's like a band playing and it's just you don't know what's going on, right? It's a fucking wackiness. This, it's like, oh, you walk around the casino, there's like 25 really polite Asian people like walking around being super cute. This is different, you know. The shows have been good. It's just the club is like brand new, and you could just kind of tell sometimes a new comedy club because like the lighting isn't great. It's lit like a jazz club, so like my eyes are just black on stage. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't. So when I'm talking to someone in the crowd, no one knows who I'm talking to. Like I'm like, hey, me, because that's like the eye contact's out there, and then you know this is all kind of. You know,
I just got it, bro, because it's a new comedy club and you're at Resorts World. It used to be a swingers club.
Is that what it? Oh, that's funny.
That's why the lighting's like that. It's all dark, so you can't see anything too far.
Maybe.
And swingers, you know, Resort World.
And people aren't going to know this, but like whenever you build a comedy club, you always want low ceilings. Low ceilings because when you tell a joke, the laughter then goes right to you. So that way you feel like you're doing well. Like the worst when you walk into a comedy club, you're like, fuck, high ceilings. You're like, because the laugh just goes right up. It doesn't go towards you. So sometimes on stage, you don't think you're doing as well as you're doing because, and I'm not to, like, you're up there and you're like,
okay, hey, Adam, you know, listen, people might not know this about you because it's an MMA show. They might not realize that you're one of the most touring comedians in the entire United States. So you'd be the best guy to ask this. If I were to build the best comedy room in the entire planet, all right, what would that look like to you, a touring comic?
All right. If you were to work.
We got low ceilings. Low ceilings first, okay? I'm into it.
Low now, ceilings next, first.
What kind stage, of background would what kind of background would you prefer?
You don't want it to be too distracting. So you don't want to have like hot, crazy colors. I mean, obviously like the brick background is like what you kind of want. And a lot of it is like, you don't want the ceilings too high because if the ceiling is too high, then it's like, you're too much above the crowd. So you want, stage, you want the stage [S2] Hey. [S1] Low, the stage low. So it looks so that way you don't want to be looking down at people too much. That's why, you know, theaters, it's one thing because the theater is, the seats are going up. It doesn't matter how high the stage is, go up. You want it down. Then you also, a lot of it is like cushions. You don't want people to be too comfortable. And in some crazy way, like the sound goes off the wood. So you want wooded seats. If you have too comfortable seats, it almost like people are relaxed. They're down. You also want everybody up forward. That's why back in the day when we used to have, I used to run shows, we used to put reserve signs on all the back seats. That way people are pushed to the front. Because people are walking to a comedy club, they're going to sit in the back. And that's going to be like, fuck. And then they're going to sit here and there and there. That's not what you want. You want everyone pushed forward and then going back. And then most of it also is also where the club is, okay? The reason why I opened up a club when I got to L.A. near UCLA is foot traffic. Because foot traffic versus people getting out of their car. People getting into their car to go somewhere. No one wants to fucking go in their car. Gas is expensive. So you want people walking around. That's why Times Square has so many great comedy clubs, because all these tourists are like, what do I do? So any place that you'd have people that are just regularly walking around, and then
just can stop into the comedy club. Okay, yes. I got it.
And then
it.
You also want your share of locals that know it's a good comedy show. That's why sometimes all these comedy clubs that are putting in, like, you know, Fred the funny drummer, or Stephen the mailman, or the funniest guy who pumps gas, is great. They're one-offs. They're going to get people in there, but no one's going to come back. People are just going to come to see them. So that's why what I say it's the third week of this comedy club being open. So people don't know about the comedy club, so they're not really prepared for laughs. You want the comedy club's going to hit sweet spot after like 4 or 5 months. And everyone's, oh shit, we're gonna see a good comedy show. Who's there? I don't give a fuck, but I trust that this club is gonna put on good people. So like all those factors go in. Anyway, so.
So this place has only been open a few months and you're headlining?
3 weeks.
That's great, man. You're in early. So what, are they gonna just keep bringing new comic?
Yeah, well, it's the same guy, Gabe, is a great guy. He also books The Dirty at 12:30, which is like, the show starts at 12:30. It's in South Point. It's all these degenerates, great people, the Dirty Birds, porn stars, anyone that doesn't have a job, basically, at 12:30 at night. And then he also books a show at this weed dispensary place. So, which is those are the only clubs you want to go up early in. Because,
bro, I got to talk to you off the air, because I got an excellent opportunity on Mondays that I think some comedians will be prime. Everyone will be pumped about it.
But I
want to come out to Resort World to see you, to be honest. I want to see this amazing casino full of Asians and you you just smashing it on stage, bro. Because, I think you're like the perfect guy to like christen that room a bit. You know, you have the rapid fire style.
Funny though, because sometimes as a fighter, you know, people always say don't admire your own work, right? Like when you throw a combo, don't fucking
look at it.
And it kind of goes in some ways with comedy, because sometimes when the crowd's too easy and they're laughing at everything, you start feeling yourself and you think you're doing better than you actually are, because you're telling a joke and everyone's laughing like I'm killing. But if people that are really wanting to laugh hard, they're like, this guy's okay. Blah, blah, blah. Like everyone else is laughing hard. But sometimes when I don't think I'm doing that well, because hence the fucking high ceilings and you can't see me and the clubs would open, is when I'm actually the funniest. Because I'm working twice as hard. So if you're enjoying it, you're really enjoying it. So I've had all these people like, tomorrow night. I'm coming back Tuesday night. Like, dude, that was, and I'm like going, I'm off stage going, that was okay. That was a lot harder than I thought it'd have to be. And people were like, bro, it was fucking banger after banger after banger. So sometimes it's like, you know, you can get into a situation
I think it's a performer's. I think a good performer, because I have the same thing. Everyone tells me that was awesome. I go on a live. I do a live. The thing is so funny. Everyone says it's funny. And then I come off like, I'm like, I could have done better. I could have said this better. I think that having this mentality of it could always be better allows you to actually be good. So I think it's a byproduct, because I have the same experience when I do podcasts and I kill it. But I come off and I'm like, damn, this joke could have been better. That joke, it's how it is when I was a fighter too. All I saw was the mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, but literally they have these like paintings of people. It's like not even paintings. It's like pictures that are changing of people laughing. Oh, like one of those, like all these pictures, but they're always changing. You know, those like, So I'm on stage going, hey, it's always good when the people in the pictures are having a better time than you guys. Like, I'm like, see those people? Look over there. And then I'm like, it's like that kind of shit that like is making people really laugh because, or if I'm shitting on the whole fucking experience of the whole room. But, but yeah, but it was, meanwhile, I don't even know if I should even talk about this because I might. So I got hired by the White House, okay, to write for Trump's speech tomorrow, right? So a couple weeks ago, they hired, a couple months ago, it was actually kind of funny. A couple months ago, basically they reached out to Gutfeld. Trump had a speech that wasn't being filmed and for the Alfalfa Club. And hey, they wanted to hire some of Gutfeld's writers. So I got hired. I'm literally on the bottom of a cruise ship writing these jokes for the president, right? And next thing I know, I see one of the articles that comes out. It was like, fucking Trump offends or Trump comedy show, all like, good and bad. And they're quoting the jokes. And like, I got like, I don't know, 10 jokes in, right? So one of the jokes was Liz Warren would be here, but she couldn't get a reservation, right? So that was, next thing I know, my friend sends me this. Liz Warren is in the Senate hearing. She's in Congress, right? And Scott Bessent, who's the White House treasurer, was like talking about something about, and she's like, what are you, a comedian? You think you, what, is this a joke? And he's like, speaking of jokes, you hear the joke that Trump said about you? That you couldn't get a reservation? And Liz Warren is like, I heard that, right? Like, that was my joke. It went all the way back to Liz Warren. Like, literally the joke.
I don't know why you're surprised. I just assume that Liz Warren watches the podcast.
So it went, it wasn't that. So anyway, so then they hired me again for tomorrow's White House press correspondence dinner, right? So I gave them like 40 jokes. We'll see how they do. And they kept texting me, oh, Gavin Newsom's coming. They gave me a list of all these people, you know, Nicki Minaj and this person and you know, Erica Kirk and blah, blah, blah. These are the people coming. And then it's like, also Marco Rubio. So I'm like doing the speech as Trump. Like I'm trying to like write it as Trump.
I know. You know? That's dope. Yeah, I would imagine that you would write in his voice 100%.
So that's that. But it's crazy because, like, if I even put this on, you know, I think the fans that watch this podcast will be like, you know, blah, blah. But at any time in history, if you were like, hey, I got hired by the White House to write jokes, if I posted it, people be like, great job, or that's awesome, or like, you know, hey, man, that's the president. Like, holy shit. Dude, if I put that on Facebook, the amount of vitriol of people, fuck you, you fucking.
Hey, you should do it. You should do it for engagement. You know what I mean? You should wear an ice costume or something. I don't know, bro.
I'm not like, wearing a fucking ice
you
costume.
You got to rage bait. You know, to these days, you have to rage bait to get any clicks.
I don't want to rage bait. I'd rather not get clicks. I'd rather just, but I'm telling you, and I figure it's the truth. This is honestly what's happening. And I want to be honest, right? Isn't that the most important thing? Is this to be
I don't
honest?
Know. No, I think you're supposed to lie and declare bankruptcy. I don't know. Ask this guy. He's probably got a better, he at least has a regular job.
Dude, you know, it's like, it's funny that you say that though, Jason, because there are people that I know who are really, really successful podcasters, comedians. Like, I mean, like look, top three, top four. And they just lie. Like shit that I'm like, that did not happen. I know that.
What's wrong with lying? Bro, but so you're like, in entertainment, bro. You gotta learn how to lie. Lie about everything.
But there's exaggerated truths. You're like, oh shit, dude, I fucking bombed so bad, or I had the best set, or like, man,
wait,
you know,
who are we shit talking right now? I wanna get specific.
This chick
who
was
who are we shit talking? Are you talking about Joe Rogan? Are you saying Joe Rogan's a liar?
I'm not saying Joe Rogan, but let's just say someone in that
what? In the Rogan-o-sphere? Oh my literally. God, bro. Tell me who.
No, but Ari Shaffir. It's not the point. The point is that.
No, this is so juicy. I can't fucking
well, you know,
unhear
I'm just
it.
Saying, like I ran into this guy who would be like, yeah, you know, and I hooked up with blah, blah, these girls. And what I do is I like, he would just say things that I know
almost
weren't true.
There. I almost have it. Who is it? Do some more of his voice.
I don't know. But my point is that what we're doing now? Is that what we're supposed to do? Just make up stories It's
wait, the guy, who did he say that he banged, Adam? Please tell me, bro. This is so juicy.
I'll tell you off the air.
No, I don't even want to know off the air. I only want to know in the world of MMA roasted.
Yeah, I know. So, you know what? You know, I'll give you a hint that
yes.
he once got busted for something back in the day, and he's like, you know, we lie, we tell stories, this is what we do. So you know, if you know, you know. But the point isn't to start a fight with that person. The point is I'm just saying is that, like,
dude, you don't have to. I will personally fight this person. I do not care. I will fight anyone in the podcast world.
No. I don't want to fight people in the podcast world. All right.
That's right. You're missing. I'll fight them. Anyway, I had a great day at sparring today. That's why I'm all amped up right now, bro. I like socked some dudes in the face. I fought a bare knuckle boxer today. He was a beast. It was really fun to fight him. And then who else? And then Ellie Nadal is getting ready for a fight. So I had to put some wrestling. Oh, you would have liked it, bro. I hit him with a couple of middle school wrestling techniques.
Well, first of all, a couple things. I find bare knuckle boxing so interesting because, like, Mike Perry, right? Mike Perry, who, let's say, is a very, very tough guy, was a good UFC fighter. I wouldn't say he was elite, but he was good, solid, you know, maybe even, when you see, great. Maybe he was very, very good.
As I remember, he was a decent boxer, but and an okay wrestler, right? But
He had no wrestling. He just wanted to brawl. He just wanted to brawl. He had a really no jiu-jitsu. Like Donny Cerrone submitted him, but he was a guy that was impossible to get out because you just can't hurt him, this fucking guy. Anyway, so he does bare knuckle boxing, and he's just running. He's making people quit that you've never seen quit before. Like the
it's perfect for his skill set. He's like a durable fighter who can go forward with brawling punches. Bare knuckle boxing, it's very advantageous for you to brawl.
But then, like, he fucking makes wrong. Eddie Alvarez quit, and he runs through, I think it was Thiago Alves, like good people. But then he does boxing against Jake Paul, and he gets embarrassed. Like he gets, I mean, yeah, Jake Paul's like,
Are you kidding, bro? You've been watching the sport a long time.
But
it's a much bigger man. Are you joking? Jake Paul is so much bigger, bro.
Is that how much does bare knuckle boxing and boxing not?
No. What you're not understanding is the weight classes matter. Like he blew up to go like 190 something to fight Jake Paul. When Jake Paul cut weight to go down to fight Mike Perry, he's just a much larger human being than Mike Perry. Jake Paul is like a longer wingspan. You know, at the end of the punches, it's going to find a home. You know, wingspan matters, dude. That's why they give the tail of the tape. The one athlete who's much bigger is on a long enough timeline going to win the fight. That's why we have weight classes.
So you're saying if they were the same weight, if they were the exact same weight, Mike Perry would win a boxing match?
Well, what I'm telling you is the human frame of Jake Paul is much larger, bigger, and more filled out with meat than Mike Perry's shorter, stubbier arms, lighter weight, Yeah, so, yeah, this matters a lot. This matters a lot over the course of even a four-round fight, you know? If you make the guy tired and he's a lot lighter than you, well, then you're going to have a lot of advantage because you have a full like 4 or 5 inches of reach, you know, plus you put that together with footwork and getting out of the way. The fact that Mike Perry cannot hold on to him at all, underhooks, that's out. That's not the rules. You're not allowed to clench box. So
in a bare knuckle boxing, same size as they are right now, not.
Well, but they're not. But that's like acting as if, you know what I mean? If an elephant was the same size as a rhinoceros, they're not. They're not. One is much bigger.
But let's say, I know they're not, but who wins in a bare knuckle boxing match tomorrow?
Well, I mean, they'd have to have the fight, but still the advantage, you're talking about as they are, Jake Paul is much taller, bigger man. he beats the shit out of him just like he did in boxing.
Yeah, but Perry made Luke Rockhold quit. Luke Rockhold's a taller, bigger guy.
Yeah, not that much bigger. Like Luke Rockhold is the beanpole compared to Jake Paul.
Okay, I mean he weighed at 195 and Rockhold fights at 185.
Yeah, that's skinny.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. He's skinny. So you know what I mean? Like, okay, so Jake Paul cutting as much weight as he can makes it down to 195 because that was what the promotion determined the weight to be. A promotion headed up by who? Oh, whoops, Jake Paul. Okay. So yeah, I'm going to fight the most advantageous fight that I can. And then I'm going to put on a big show later on when I fight a real legitimate boxer where I'm going to get my damn jaw broken.
I mean, my point was, Jason, for you basically saying that you sparred today. Well, there was a lot of different points, but you basically made your point. But saying that you sparred today against a bare knuckle boxer, how did much difference is that than sparring against an actual boxer?
Well, it's just the rules are different, you know. In regular boxing, you know, you can hit the guy a certain amount of official ways. You know, you can have to hit with the flat of your knuckle. You know, you cannot clench or underhook or rabbit punch or headlock the guy and sock him up. And in bare knuckle, you can. In bare knuckle, you can do all these weird, like, mean techniques.
Yeah.
Like, underhook the guy and overhook the guy. It's not quite as a clean and... You have a lot more material to protect your face with.
Yeah, a lot more,
you know, because bare knuckle is just some tape. You can break your hand in a lot of different ways with bare knuckle.
Yeah.
And boxing, you know, you got yourself a shield. You have a little pad there that can shield you. And he hits the back of your head. In prison, someone punched me in the back of the damn hand when I was bare knuckle boxing and broke a little bone in my damn hand. I didn't even know. Until recently, when I got an MRI, that I have a broken bone in my hand. That you were
in a bare knuckle boxing prison league?
I mean, I started the league, so I guess, yeah. I didn't call it a league. I didn't call it a league or anything, but I just wanted to keep sharp while I was inside, you know? I didn't want to, like, never do sparring, you know? If you only hit the bag, you get a lot of bad habits. But if you can get in there and box with guys,
yeah,
you know, you can figure it out, you know.
So you watched last week UFC Fight Night. It was Burns versus Malott in Canada.
No. I knew you were going to ask me this. I feel like the kid who, like, his dog ate his homework.
I had
no interest in that fight or anything. I knew kind of. Yeah, but did Burns lose?
Yeah, you know, he got stopped. He said he had a three-fight. He was going to retire in three fights, but he's like, if I can't beat this guy, I'm like retired. And it was competitive until he got caught and dropped. And it was kind of sad. I mean, I understand that the UFC, the other guy's Canadian. You want to build him up. You give him a name. You make him look good. And I love it when that doesn't work out. I love it when they do that and then their guy loses. It's actually something. But at the same time, there's something kind of sad about, like, bringing in this, like, old racehorse that barely can move and then just having the new guy.
You know, that's why I had no interest in that fight. You know, it's like Gilbert is not the Gilbert that I know. You know, he's just got a lot of miles on him. And, you know, like if it was his retirement fight, I would watch it respectfully, but it was just, they're going to throw him back out there with this tough ass guy. And it's not very appealing to me, you know.
Yeah.
They don't treat the fighters with respect on the way down. It's like, nah, we're not going to keep cooking your name. We're going to just put you to the hardest fight we can find you. So that, there you go, we're going to build our new guys off you. You know, and I totally understand it's a smart business move, but there's no compassion for the elite fighters of the day. You know, this Gilbert Burns, he should be doing some showcases all around Brazil, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then there was a couple fights that the refs gave it to the other guy that was like, I was like, huh? It seemed like they were kind of, it was weird. It was, they were taking away.
Really?
Yeah. And they were giving it to the Canadian fighters.
Didn't that happen in Canada before? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
They're so nice to their own fighters, eh?
Like, yeah. It's exactly.
Yeah, that's weird. That happened before. That's funny.
That's exactly what happened. And you're like, wait, what? How did that guy win? Even like, to the point where a couple fights, they announced the winner and the commentators were like, huh? And then it just went to commercial. And then when they came back to commercial, they were like, we're still not, I still can't figure out what the hell happened with that last fight. And shout out to Paul Felder for doing that. Cause like Paul Felder is a really, really, he was a great fighter. He's a great commentator. It's no bullshit. You know,
Felder, yeah. He got fired today.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he got fired, yeah.
Paul Felder?
Yeah, they said that he's released.
No, is that a joke?
Look it up.
Why would he be, after what I just said? Are you serious?
I didn't know it was connected, but I suppose so.
No, come on. Paul Felder fired. You made me look that up just for that. You're such a, come on, dude, really? Like,
Clinton, folks.
Why that's the mayhem prank? I mean, literally, you used to fucking show up naked in churches.
Good prank. I mean, nobody gets hurt. Nobody sees my wiener, as delicious as it is. But
it's so funny. You know what's funny? That I had an old girlfriend, a girlfriend that I used to, who I'm like still friends with. She's really pretty, nice girl, nice person. I fucked it up because I was too immature back in the day. And look, I'm thrilled that I did in hindsight, because I married the greatest woman of my life, you know, and that I know, and we have a beautiful kid. But my friend Emily, who's very nice, and she was a ring girl for something that like you worked on. I think it was for that crazy fighting thing. You were dressed up as Pokemon or something, or you were dressed up as a character for Fight Circus. And she's like, I met your friend Jason. I think he goes by Mayhem. Such a nice guy. He was giving me pointers about doing this. And like, it was very wholesome and sweet. I was like, cool. You don't remember dressing up as a Pikachu or something for Fight Circus? This is recently in Las Vegas.
Thailand?
No, in Vegas. They brought it to Vegas, Fight Circus. And you were dressed up as something, like fighting.
Gabby Garcia, LaBooBoo.
Yeah, you were as a LaBooBoo. Yeah. My friend met you, an old girlfriend of mine, and said, was saying how nice you were. And then my other friend, this other guy came to my show with a bunch of porn stars, and one of them went by the Squirt Queen, and this other girl gave me her sticker where she's naked, and she's like this fucking rowdy crew, nice people, but just, it was just crazy. Like, anyway, so this guy's like, yeah, I used to be in the, he's like, I'm in the UFC and blah, blah, blah. I go, I do a podcast with me and Mayhem. And he goes, oh, Mayhem beat up my brother in the UFC. I was like, what? He's like, yeah. His last name is Urbina, Hector Urbina.
Yeah. Oh, Urbina is tough. Yeah. Yeah. I did beat him up pretty good. Yeah. He was tough as shit, though. That guy was like, not quitting. The guy was I don't know. I don't know if I even finished him. Huh? He was tough and gave me like a cardio workout. That shit was Urbina. Yeah, he didn't get tired, man. Hector Urbina. Yeah, I remember that. I just got out of breath right now thinking about that fight.
His little brother is in the UFC now, Gilbert Urbina, and I was like, he might come on the podcast. Like these people were like, you ever meet people that are just out there? Jason, like, I'm sure you have, but they're like, hey, we're going to this house. And then there's like porn stars and fighters, and some chick has bottles of wine and she's offering them to me. And she's like, I just got divorced and I own five. It was just all this information. And you're like, man,
just started up just like every Monday.
And you're like, and I'm like, I got to go write these jokes for Gutfeld. And they're like, oh, we'll help. And I'm like, yeah, that'll go well. So I just went back to my room. This Gutfeld job has been great to me, and I've been, I think Jason's gone, and it's anyway, Gutfeld job has been great for me, but and keeping me out of a lot of trouble. At the same time, it's, you know, maybe I don't have as many fun stories as I probably used to have, where I just end up in strange houses with, you know, naked people. Well, that's also good for my marriage, but, yeah, I'm not complaining, but I am living vicariously through myself when I was 30. But that's the thing. Look, you want to – I tell people – I see people all the time. If you want advice from me, don't get married in your 18, 20, 25. Get it out of the way. Get the chicks out of the way that you want to bang. Get the experiences out of the way, because you see all these people, and they don't get a lot of pussy in their life. They just don't get a lot of pussy. Maybe they're working too hard or whatever. Then they finally get some success, and then they're cheating on their wives, and then they get caught because of the phone, or they feel bad. Maybe they don't even want to be with their wives, and they settle. Their wife leaves them. The wife takes the kids. They have half the money they had, a third of the money that they had, and now they're a shell of themselves. And then they're the old guy at the strip club, and then they're the old guy at the party that shouldn't be there anymore. And so get it out of the way. It's never going to be out of the way. You're never going to get it out of your system, people. All right. You're never going to be like, I've gotten laid so much, my dick doesn't want it anymore. Okay. That's not going to happen. And any guy that tells you he only wants to fuck his wife is lying or cheating or gay. Okay. But you know,
bro, yeah, I'd be lying and cheating and gay because I only want to fuck my. I swear to God, bro. I really do. Yeah. Hack the brain.
No, you're lying. I'm serious.
I can't even see you.
This is how. I can't hear you. Go
okay.
On.
You know what? I'm in the
Great. It's always good when someone's in the elevator doing a podcast. That's the best place to do a podcast. Why don't you go to a fucking well? You know, go to the ocean. Why don't you go to the fucking the Strait of Hormuz and hop on a fucking mine and then call me from the fucking podcast? Because that's how you want to hear people. I always want to hear somebody make nothing's better than comedy when you okay, hear every third word. Which is why when you go to a comedy club, you should do is you should get a fucking phone and call Cricket Wireless and just call into the fucking thing. And then they go, blah, 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 and just he hung up. Anyway, what are we talking about? I don't even know where I'm at right now. I'm fucking tired. I have not prepared this show as much as I should have. I'm exhausted. I just want to hang out with my kid. I just want to hang out with my little 7-year-old. I'm canceling a lot of gigs, long-term gigs, to some more time with the family, which is good. My point is that get it out of your system, and to the point where. And I don't know why maybe I'm telling you this because, and I'm sure people will be like, you're full of shit or blah, blah, blah. Or Don Fry would be like, all bitches are fucking crazy and they're all fucking psycho. They're all going to take your fucking money. And then McCorkle would chime in with I'll tell you who doesn't fucking want to cheat. Bruce Buffer or Dominic Cruz. and then talk about how Brandon Schaub said he could bench 700 pounds, but can't. Okay. Or Mayhem. I can't even, he's not even here. And I could hear him from the fucking elevator. But what I'm telling you people is get it out of your system. And then you're going to meet somebody eventually that it's not going to be worth it. You're going to be like, listen. And a lot of times you got to talk yourself out of pussy. You got to be like, yeah, I could cheat on my wife or my girlfriend, but I got to wear a condom. All right. That's not going to be as fun. Who the fuck wants to wear condoms when you don't wear? Then I'm going to come in 3 fucking seconds. That's going to be embarrassing. She's not going to enjoy it. And then I'm going to have to live with the fucking guilt of every time your wife says she loves you and you're the best and this, you're going to go, maybe you don't have any guilt. There's some people with no guilt, people that like, they don't give up. There's sociopaths. And I would say 80% of male comics are fucking sociopaths where they could just fucking cheat and be like, I don't give a fuck. I'm a man. That's what men do. We're fucking cavemen. And Andrew Tate.
Bro, let me tell you what. Joe Rogan ruined my life a little bit. Because why? Back in the day, because I already had met my wife with Joe Rogan. Just so happened I was at Sky Bar, right? And that's where I met her 20 years ago. Now, 20 years ago, Joe Rogan was telling me, you know, he's like, you got a girl? You cheat on her? Yeah. He's like, well, yeah, do that. And like, he had me in that mentality of like, do whatever. And I was like, okay. It was like, we were all bros back then, or nobody wanted to like grow up. Now I'm older and I'm grown up, you know, but back then you just want to do whatever, you know, just do whatever. But I was telling you earlier, I only want to fuck my wife. Here's how I do it. I imagine all the sexual energy, because every time I see one of those yoga pants with a split butt, it looks like they're butt naked, pink. They got a BBL. They got the perfect camel toe. I cannot help it. I look I get excited.
You're a Met. That's called, that's, it would be, it would be unnatural if you didn't.
But what I do is take this and cook it up, because you make this into like a sexual energy that you have inside you that can motivate you to do whatever, write your comedy, work out harder. Yeah. When I feel this kind of energy, like, thank you, lady. Thank you for showing me this part. And I take this at the end of the night and jam it in my lady. She gets the brutal dictator in my pants that is from every woman that is not immediately
been
in the Costco parking lot.
But Jason, you probably also, what I'm trying to say is you've probably been with 500, 1,000.
Thousands
of women. All right. And you cheated on almost all your girlfriends. Okay?
No.
All of them. All right. So.
Yeah. Yes. Everyone has
so you
been,
got it out of your system. You got, no, you got my,
your system you, is never clean. The sins of the flesh are within us. Maybe if you read the Bible, you know that.
But the thing is, you also know, like for me, sometimes like oh, a girl, hey, you want some company? Or what are you doing?
You didn't let me finish. Of course, you have the problem being the big star that you are, that women will just jump right out and actually bring their own knee pillows to come blow you.
No.
But, you know, not every man has that problem. No. You have to dissuade those women. Bro, you have to jangle some keys for them and then swing them that way. You have to, like, kung fu wizardry. That's what you really got to do. Now, for me, look, I take that compliment to heart. If a woman wants to beg, sometimes I'll just get random pee pics from a lady. I appreciate it. I really thank you very much. But none of that is worth it to dishonor my lady.
Of course not.
So,
of course. I think also a lot of women unfortunately have been the other woman. They've been the one who've been cheated on. Okay. So they look at, so they're like, they, and then they're like, oh, this will be fun being the other person, the one that gets you to cheat. And then when you're like, hey, listen, you know, I got my wife and kid, or thank you, or hey, you're fucking beautiful. If I was single, I'd fucking smash, or you know, if I get divorced, you're the one. Some fucking way to get out of that, you know. And then they, then all of a sudden it's a contest. It's like game on. It's a fucking, it's a challenge. But it's the same shit we're doing, dude. It's the same thing men want.
Who are these, like, ravenous gold digging whores that are after you?
Not look, the more older I get, my hair's leaving, my fucking crow's feet are coming in, the more fucking my belly is showing up, the less they're fucking getting in. It's not how it was in my fucking 20s. You know, aging sucks because you get smarter and wiser. It's just like fucking wrestling. When I wrestle now, I know every fucking move I want to hit. It's right there. But I can't fucking hit it, okay? I don't have the speed that I had in my 20s. I'm a lot smarter, but I don't have the fucking speed. In my 20s, I would just go. I mean, literally, I would, wrestling-wise, fucking move, okay? In fact,
listen, I'm adapting, bro. Calm down right now. I got you all fired up. I just want you to take a breath, okay?
Yeah.
You're. Let's both take a breath. We're both getting up into the stratosphere right now. So a lot of pent-up aggression. I wish you'd beat off before the show, okay, instead of waiting until after. But today is a great day, okay?
Yes.
Going to reset ourselves to realize that the beauty that we have with our families is not worth the danger zone.
Nothing. It's not at all, man. I mean, that's what you look. I'm not going to give up my fucking house. And my I'm not seeing my kid on my kid on the weekends. And I got a chick that loves me. I mean, what you miss though is the same bullshit that you miss as a girl. I mean, you do miss seeing a pussy for the first time, or you miss having a girl whip out your dick and be like, oh, like, or not knowing the fucking unknown. The unknown factor is what you miss of, like,
novelty.
The threesome, the fucking kissing one girl while another girl's blowing you. Those are all good fucking times, okay? And if I'm not gonna lie and say they're not fucking good times, I mean, you know, the most I've ever nutted in my life on a single go was with threesomes and foursomes, like threesomes, really. Because I could, one chick I nut. Hey, listen, this is fucking fun. Thank you. Like,
well, I'm gonna getting so intimate, bro. You better like cut this. Aren't you on Fox, bro? Like, you know, you need to like clean it up for the family show.
To clean it. Yeah, I'm the guy writing the fucking jokes for the president. Okay, but yeah, dude, what do you want? Fucking look, I'm just gonna keep it real.
I know, but I tell my wife, I'm not your fucking therapist. I'll give you the number to mine. Okay, he's excellent with listening.
All right, what are we talking about? The fight.
I don't know. You're just talking about how many nuts you busted. I was kind of jealous right now.
No, like, what I'm trying to say is yes, you have to factor in cost versus cost versus reward, and the reward of the 17 seconds of fucking nut is never gonna be.
God damn, bro, that's a long orgasm. Actually,
no, I'm talking about the whole thing, not just the nutting, the whole from beginning to end, 17 seconds, not the actual just nutting.
You might as well cheat on your wife in elevators.
No, I'm not shooting jump ropes or fucking here, but I'm saying like. The 17 seconds of like, whatever. Who gives a fuck? This is not. Why am I here? What's the point of living? We're all gonna die one day. All right. So, fucking. What are we? This fucking
Memento Mori.
I'm waiting for this guy Brian Cage. You know who the Brian Cage is?
I don't give a shit.
All right. Well, he's our guest coming on. He is a guy in the AEW wrestling. He's a fucking monster. When I say a monster, like he looks like.
Wait. He's in. He's an active AEW wrestler.
Yeah.
Oh, now I give a shit again. Okay.
He looks like Big Papa Pump back in his, like, this guy just is. Yo, I don't even know where we met.
Keep talking. I got to get a protein bar if I'm going to beat this guy.
This guy came to my comedy. He's not even wearing a shirt. That's how I'm a fucking man. This guy's a caveman. Like, this guy came to my show, and he was a, I think I got feedback on you, Brian. Your computer? Your phone?
I just threw it on the phone because it was upstairs. I didn't go to my computer.
Oh, it's all good. So yeah, look, this guy, this is him like after taking a year off with like an injury. He's jacked and he throws people like I've never seen. Like I watched your highlights. How much do you weigh? 220, 230, 240?
Come on, 250.
250.
God damn, he's a monster. Look at him.
But you move like. Jesus
Christ, bro.
But you move like a 130 pounder. Like you could do flips.
Yeah, that's what sets me apart. Yeah.
How did you learn all that?
I don't know. I just did it, to be honest. Like I just tried and I was like, oh, I can do it. Sweet. Like I was never a gymnast. I never did anything else. I just kind of did it. Like I kept a lot of my natural athleticism and ability in the ring just because I was gaining size while I was already wrestling. But funny enough, I did a lot more like flips and dives and tricks, if you will. Like after I got bigger, not when I was smaller.
So I was, you know, cause I don't even like, he's been to like five of my shows, Jason, always the nicest guy, polite guy, family guy, beautiful wife. Wife has four kids. She looks like she's a penthouse model. I mean, a prime penthouse model, super hot Latina, fucking cool shit. But I was like, holy shit. I didn't even realize your story.
Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game. Okay. You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, you browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on with Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events. All right, they have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you're not like stuck behind a goalpost or you're sitting in the parking lot. Whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, et cetera. All right, go to Game Time Picks. All right, they make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
Hey, man, you went to high school with Aaron Rodgers.
I did, yeah.
Were you and Aaron friends?
We were cool. It's funny because, you know, he's the popular kid. I definitely wasn't. And, but he was like, he wasn't a stuck up popular kid because he was in a few of my classes. He was always cool. And it's funny too, because that was like the peak Monday Night War era in wrestling where everyone watched wrestling. But as they'd say, you know, you'd call you gay if you liked wrestling, even though everyone did. But I was like an outed fan, and I'd always talk about it. And it was dope because he would always talk to me about Raw or Nitro the night before, like not trying to be too cool for school, no pun intended. So yeah, I got along with him in that regard. I thought it was cool that he didn't try to act like, you know, he was all that in the bag of chips.
Did you play football with him?
I did not. I didn't play football at all in high school. Actually, I played football all the time with my friends and I loved it. But when I played Pop Warner for a couple of years, my mom put me in the team across town, which I didn't know anybody, and I hated going there. So that just made me like not want to do it at all. And it was fine because I didn't, like, I liked playing football, but I had no aspirations. I know I always wanted to be a wrestler, and I didn't want to spend any more time at school than I had to be. I backyard wrestled through high school, and I was actually a big skateboarder as well.
Yeah, so you're here with Jason Mayhem Miller, by the way. He used to host Bully Beatdown.
I know who Jason Miller is, yes.
Come on, bro. He's a kindred spirit. This dude is an entertainer for life. Look at him.
So Brian, it said that you and your friends started your own background wrestling league.
Yeah, so evolved too over generations. We'd always roughhouse when we were like little kids, and then we get grounded from wrestling stuff. So we, you know, because we were breaking stuff, hurting our younger brothers. So then we do it outside, and we'd have this little like makeshift Royal Rumble kind of match in this like little grassy area where we try to shoot through all the kids off, and just like a classic like heel too. I'd always buddy up with my younger brother so we could tag team my older brother to eliminate him because I knew I could win if I got rid of my older brother. And then that evolved into us all trying to like emulate whoever on TV. And then there was rules to it though. So you had to share the same person's name or look like him or whatever. So like my middle name is Christopher. So I was usually Brian Christopher, which is Jerry King Lawler's son. You know, everyone was like, nobody was like who you really wanted to be. It was just like kind of thrown out there. And I remember a friend of mine, Antoine, he was always like, he goes, man, I want to be Shawn Michaels. I was like, but you can't be. That's the rules. And he goes, oh, man, but I want to be Shawn Michaels. I was like, hey, I want to be Shawn Michaels. I don't want to be Brian Christopher. That's just, you know, that's just who it is. And then because like the only two like black wrestlers that he knew were Farouk and Ahmed Johnson, he'd be like, I don't want to be Farouk or Ahmed Johnson.
The black kid has to be Junkyard Dog every fucking time.
By the way, I auditioned to play Brian Christopher.
I auditioned to play Junkyard Dog, and they still passed me over.
Yeah, for that show about The Rock. Remember that Rock? I went tanning. I got all kinds of tan.
The goggles and stuff.
The goggles. And then I'm actually friends with the guy that was
Aziz Ansari.
No, the wrestler Chuck Palumbo. I'm friends with Chuck.
Oh yeah.
And then, so I was going. I was like, Palumbo, now do I look like him? And he was actually giving me advice on how to be Brian Christopher. So
that's hilarious.
So how did you make the move from backyard wrestling with your friends to like actually making?
It's all I ever wanted to do, right? And it started to get like more. We took it that and made it more legitimized, and like, you know, it was so backyard wrestling for a long time. But my slogan was, it's not backyard wrestling. We just wrestle in a backyard. Because that was like the height of backyard wrestling too, where it was like all the hardcore stuff. But we still did some hardcore stuff, but I tried to have like just real matches. And then eventually started training with a local company outside of Chico, California, in Yuba City. And I got my own ring, and I started running my own practice on top of that, and then running my own actual real shows. And so the backyard league I ran was called Manzanita Wrestling Federation because I lived in this townhouse. It's called Manzanita Apartments. So I wanted to keep that name so that when I made an actual independent promotion, it was still MWF, but it was Main Event Wrestling Federation. And then that's actually, you know, as I kept training, we kept wrestling, and I started doing the NorCal indie scene. And then Chris Canyon, who is a good friend of mine and one of my idols in wrestling, he actually came out and wrestled me in my hometown, in my home promotion, back in like 2006. So that was like the that's what it counts as my first official professional wrestling.
What
match
was it? Yuba? You said Yuba?
Yuba City.
Yuba City, is that where you got hit with the gamma rays near the is that what happened?
Gamma rays probably happened more so in Fresno.
I got it. But yeah, like, well, talk about your weight training regimen. Like, how did you get enormous like that, dude? That, you know, it's like, bro, I'm like looking at your deltoid and I just want to dribble that motherfucker right off the fucking court, bro. You know what I mean? Is it a lot of these? Look, I'm trying to get big,
all,
too, bro.
All those side laterals?
These ones? Or what is it? Shrugs? How much do you shrug? 6 Volkswagen?
Yeah, it's 220. I don't even do shrugs anymore because my traps are overpowering. There's a good clip, though. I just talked about this yesterday, too, funny enough. There's a good clip where I do I go do this moonsault. It's like backflip off the ropes. Yeah. And the ropes are so loose, and I land right on my head. Like, I mean, I should have broke my neck. And I feel like the only reason I did it was because of my traps.
Yeah. No. I'm going to tell you no. I seen a bodybuilding forum. They're talking about, don't overdo your traps because blah, blah, blah. It makes you look skinnier. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's not, but it's good for you. I think for your business, dude, I need weighted neck like this.
Oh, yeah,
on your side,
sure.
This way.
My shoulders are great now, but they used to be my like one of my weakest body parts. And then my traps are so overpowering. So my traps made my shoulders look smaller in comparison.
Dude, Adam, stop
hold
doing
on, hold on. Look at this.
I'm trying
Jace
to get this guy.
Jace,
traps,
look at this guy.
Bro.
Jace, look at this guy.
I know he's sick with the fucking wild moves, but now your Wi-Fi's out and he's fucking. Bro, listen, I cannot see. It's going in fucking slow motion.
You can't see 6K dial up? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, bro. You got mail. Like, what the shit is this, bro?
Wait, now.
Wow. Some bangers. Honestly, right now, I kind of see him tapping somebody out with the heel hook sort of deal. And then he banged them off the ground, did a flippy dip, right? Junkyard Dog is giving him the right fucking beast. I don't know what the fuck's going on. The shit is goddamn so small. And, hey, what is that one? Moonsault? Oh, my God,
that was,
bro.
That was a tilt of world head scissors.
Sick. Bro, you are a talented performer, bro. Yeah, yeah. I really want to know how to get my deltoids big, though, bro. I don't know why you're stopping me from getting my tips, Adam.
I do a bunch of cool shoulder exercises now, but like even then to really pop them up, when I said they're weaker, all I would do was just – I would have my shoulder day, but then like 2 other days out of the week, I would just run the rack of side laterals, like you were saying. So, like, I would do, you know, 20s, 25s, 30s, 35s, 40s. And then I would just do one giant set, 40s all the way to 5 pounds. And then even, like, where you just do no weight and your partner tries to push your arms down. Just
really? To failure. Yeah. Then to failure.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that.
If you do those little extra sets just like that, you know, if you do, like, on chest day at the end and back day, you're not overtraining them, but you're adding enough extra stimulus to get some extra growth on it. So...
Fuck yeah. You know, because I had this question. I've been after it, and they actually are getting pretty pumped. I hit this 25, but now that you tell me to failure, I'm going to get after it. I'm going to get after it like that.
So now, Jason, now here he is against Bobby Lashley, by the way.
Great. Yeah.
Undefeated against Bobby Lashley.
Nice. Who are your favorite performers to fight against in these matches? Like, who's your current favorite opponent?
Oh, man, there's a lot of good opponents. Like, so, okay, in the company I'm in right now, AEW, out of the people I've worked with, my favorite matches that I've had, well, the current champ, Darby Allin, he's a small little guy, but you kill him. He dies, like, every match. He's insane. I had a guy named Adam Page. It's phenomenal. As far as, like, bigger names, I mean – and then they show the clips of me working with Cody Rhodes. He's good.
No, I don't mind about the name. I don't know, mind about the bigger names. You know, I want to know who you're going to grow with as a performer, who is going to be like the next storylines because you guys have the best matches. I figure the promotion, I don't know, how does it work over there? Who is the big boss that goes, hey, we're going to do this storyline. We're going to do this. You know,
it's
who
all,
do you?
AEW, it's all yes. The boss. It's a one-man show. It's all Tony Khan, who's the owner of Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's a huge wrestling fan. And like in WWE and like most everywhere else, there's usually a creative team and like agents that handle these guys or this storyline for this thing. He does it all himself just because he is such a huge fan. And it's also like, it's his like baby, right? So it's like he doesn't want to retouch it and ruin it. He wants to paint like the perfect canvas in his mind what he wants it to be. So
yeah, he does a good job because
look at you curling people.
I know.
This is hilarious.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Now, Brian, I saw that you were, they took you to the WWE and the whole like development thing, but then you didn't sign with them or they cut you. Like what happened
no,
there?
No. So I was signed there. I was signed there for like a year and a half. You know, I got fired crazy too. So I work this, actually, no. So I had a match with Ryback, right? Yeah. And he tore my groin and I just taped it up and I'm working around it. And, we have this big show. It was like a Father's Day weekend. Like all these legends, dads were there. All the dads are the legends. Anyways, and I worked on this guy and I go, hey, I can't really springboard because my groin's torn. I was like, so I'm just going to pretend like I'm going to springboard. I go and just boot me off the rope to cut me off. And he goes, okay, cool. So I go to springboard and he's not there. He's like 12 feet away from me. And I'm like, what is he doing? So like, I can't really springboard. So I just fall in the ring and eat shit. And then he comes and gets on me. Where the rest of the match is fine, but there's just that one big botch. Anyways, out of all the matches I had there in the year and a half, and I was killing. Everybody thought I was getting called up to the main roster. They happened to watch that match, see that like shitty botch where I just looked terrible in it, and they ended up cutting me just from that. Long story short, it was bullshit. And then it went back and forth where they tried to rehire me, then they rescinded the contract, then they were going to put
me on top. Bro, I'll tell you, don't even feel fucking bad, bro, because I went in there guns blazing when they called me, and I was like, yo, bro, I'm not doing this fake wrestling shit unless we do it like an MMA fight, and you let me train some guys, and I do that. I had big plans. Bro, they were like, fuck this guy. They were like, fuck this guy. This guy wants to, you know what I mean? Because I had an idea of how I could make pro rep, you know, AEW got after it. You guys do some work.
Oh, wait, holy shit. There's like, hold up, Brian, what is this? There's two guys.
I know.
I've done that with Rey Mysterio, too. I've done it with three people on my back.
Yeah, you're a crazy specimen, bro. Yeah, this amazing chucking people like nuts stacks of potatoes, bro. This man, it comes from 10,000 years of people working in factories, chucking rocks down the hill. Look at that shit. I don't know how he does that.
Normally, I don't play people's highlights, but I feel like this is
bro.
Really...
Yeah, yeah, headed. Bro.
Mine's a pretty fun one. I have a pretty good one. I have a pretty good highlight.
You really do, man. You do. I pulled my groin just watching it.
But that's crazy. You know, why wouldn't they get mad at Ryback for that and not you?
What's that about Ryback?
Why wouldn't they get mad at him for that and not you?
Bro, well, I mean, because that just happened. It wasn't necessarily even that's like his fault.
It's nobody's fault. It just happens in matches.
But he wasn't in the match when I did the botch spot, if you would. So the other guy, he's nobody. That did the match with me, but actually, technically, yeah, he did get fired as well. So I guess both of us went down. And you know, to all the coaches, stuck up for me and really tried to get me to keep there. That's why I got hired again, or at least sent the contract like 6 months later, and then they rescinded it, and then they were going to put me on like NXT before that got canceled. Then they were going to put me on Tough Enough. It was a lot of back and forth,
bro. Adam, can we like take the fucking highlights? It's so incongruous. The guy, he's talking so gently.
Go watch that one.
Put me back. Put it back. Fuck. Thank put you. It back.
That one's dope. I'm small on that one, but that, I mean, that one
all,
everyone popped
Brian,
for.
They're all dope, but yeah.
No. But that one's good. That one that you're about to play is dope. It's really good.
All right. Talk. You know what? Yeah, put it on and talk us through it. What is the move?
All right.
It's called the springboard. The springboard marisol. I called it the black magic salt.
It's right here.
Where'd it go? No, that's just dumping the guy in the face. I mean, that's cool. It's right here. Yeah. So I springboard, I jump, turn around, land.
Oh,
back
oh shit.
Ah. Now, so, wait. Where do you develop most of these? I know. Where do you develop most of these moves, man?
So that one I did try to do before. And on a crash pad, I was like, oh, I could probably do that. And then I just did it. And I was like, holy shit. And I remember, and I never really did it in a match. And in that match specifically, there's a big like indie company called PWG in LA that was super over. And I was thinking,
oh, like, I've been to that. I don't know, a long time ago.
Awesome. Yeah. And I go,
hey, I'm going to do the springboard turnaround moonsault tonight. And the guy's like, and he laughed. And I go, no, I'm going to do it. And they're all, but, and they thought I was joking. You can't do that. I go, yes, I can. No, no, you can't. I go, yes, I can. I go, fuck you. I'm doing it tonight for sure then. And then when I hit that move on the guy, dude, he was so fucking ecstatic. He was like, holy shit, that was fucking awesome as I hit the move and the whole crowd lost it. But yeah, that's always what kind of set me apart, especially going to PWG, because they're such like very smart and like kind of a hard audience because the wrestling's so awesome there. And when you see a guy with my physique, normally in the wrestling world, you can't move. I mean,
I gotta tell you,
most bodybuilder guys have no athleticism. They can't move. Yeah. They're the shits.
Yeah.
So I get critiqued like, they're like, oh, this guy fucking sucks. He just looks, you know, great. And then when they see how well I move and how well I work, they're like, holy fuck. And then they see how athletic or agile, I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You put me over earlier too. I mean, I'm no fucking Gracie black belt or anything, but no, yeah. I do. People wouldn't even roll around me. Like we, you know, shoot grapple, roll around for fun.
Yeah.
I always do much better than everything. Again, thinks I'm going to just be.
Well, no, you have an athleticism that's uncommon for a man with your musculature. I'm the first one because I have the opposite. I'm like sinewy kind of guy where I don't look real big. And so I have a clear racism against bodybuilders, but you have a freaking badass jumping around, which that's rare. That's rare because you know what it is dudes who go in the weight room and fixate on the weight room are often not working on the physical, the jumping around part that is so important. Yes.
Well, yeah, Brian, I watch almost like so many documentaries on wrestling. I can't get enough because I was a huge fan in the 80s. Like my bar mitzvah was Adam's no holds bar mitzvah. That was my theme.
And like, I didn't know that, bro. Oh, that's cool.
And then when I got hit by a car in the third grade, I was in a coma. And like my dad said, when I came out of it, I was like, can we please get WrestleMania 3? Like that's all I wanted was WrestleMania 3. Like I was hooked. I was hooked up until, I don't know, like high school. I started doing wrestling. And then I kind of stopped when I was 16, 17. And now I can't understand it. Like I try watching it, but maybe I'm just too dumb for it. But I don't know who the good guys and the bad guys are now. Because it used to be so clear that like the guy that says death to America was the bad guy. And the good guy. And but like Bret Hart was my favorite. I love Bret Hart. I loved Jake the Snake. Now it seems like everyone's kind of a good guy, sort of. Is that
so? So there is that. Obviously, there's the, you know, the nostalgic and throwback, and everybody talks about the old school wrestling. You know, old school like 80s, 90s stuff, and then obviously the Attitude Era, Stone Cold, and The Rock. First of all, I mean, I love wrestling today as far as the evolution of like the sports based, like in ring performance of it is unbelievable. And then some people, like even like the old school guys would be like, oh, you guys would do way too much. Like, oh, listen, everything evolves. Look at the X Games. You know what I mean? Like they weren't doing shit fucking, you know, 30 years ago. Not now. They're doing fucking, people are doing 1080s. But yeah, it is kind of, I mean, there's a few really good heels, but I know everybody kind of like my gimmick wants to get their shit in. Everyone wants to have an awesome time. Everyone wants to be a babyface. Even if you're a bad guy, they still want to get cheered. You know what I mean? And that kind of creates a little bit of a problem because it does have that separation between, you know, the good guy, bad guy stuff back in the day. And I think that's also because it's more and more, you know, exposed and blatant that, you know, it's a work. Whereas before, they tried to, I mean, they like lived their character 24/7 to carry off the facade that it was real. So I feel like that's why you had such an intense, like.
You know what it is? Bro, it's Christmas every day. You know what I mean? It's Christmas. We're going to suspend our disbelief and watch you guys beat the shit out of each other. Have fun. The kids will think it's real. But like we're like, oh, that's good. It's fine. You know what I mean? And we give a nice.
There was something really funny about like the Million Dollar Man when he would like make the kid bounce a basketball and then kick it at 10. I mean, you hated him so much.
Bad guy. I know.
It was hilarious. Or Mr. Perfect, where everything he did was perfect. Like, do you think maybe they could bring some of those back? Or
I mean, we still got some good heels every now and then. Like, I mean, MGF, the guy in our promotion, he's a phenomenal heel. He's a dick 24/7, and everybody hates him like legitimately. And I love him for it too. And it's funny, he's like, but even with that, like he's so over as a heel as being a dick. Like people enjoy him being a dick. If that makes like if you meet him, you want him to be a dick to you, and he usually is, even if he's just being this, you know, character. But like people are like, all excited.
I met Dolph Lundgren and was like so fucking happy
to meet him. Not Dolph Lundgren.
No. But I'm saying, remember how fucking mean he was in that fucking movie? Yeah. Like when he was the bad guy. When I was a kid, I fucking hated him. I wanted to kill him. I wanted to kill him. I was mad at him. You know what I mean? And then, you know, as an adult, I realized, man, he made me feel those feelings so much that he did a great job at his performance. And it's the same with the wrestlers. Yeah, you can get under the kid. My favorite is when they cut to the audience and you guys are going and there's kids in there crying or losing their shit or they're getting angry.
Even better is when it's a grown-ass adult doing it because that happens there.
How annoying are some of the or weird are some of the fans? Because I know, like, MMA fans, sometimes you get these people that are just like, you're like, what this guy? Where does this guy live? Does he have dead bodies in his backyard? Kind of a thing. Is that similar to pro wrestling fans?
I mean, yeah, you have the weird fans. Like, obviously, you know, girls get more of the weird fans. Like, my wife has gotten them, you know, more so than the guys. But you still have like the awkward people, right? You know, they'll come at your meet and greets or like at different conventions and whatnot. And these, we call them campers. Campers or punishers. Campers, these camp out forever. Punishers won't stop talking to you. That's why they just keep punishing you. And neither one of them buy shit, right? But they're nice and they mean well. But like, yeah, they're just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But yeah, girls usually have the more of the creepy stalker, you know, smelly guys come around them. So.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the thing with CM Punk the other day, everyone got mad at him.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not the biggest CM Punk fan just because on a strictly MMA level, I feel like I've never seen a situation where a guy had no amateur background, no pro background, and you throw him into a second main event, no wrestling. And I feel like that really cheapened. I know.
Whatever. I know, bro. I'm already like, bro, I was jealous that he got to go and make a payday. You know what I mean?
I didn't like it because the guys like you who had to fucking fight in Japan and bust and fight for on
business.
Indian reservations for $100.
It's a mean business, bro.
No,
it's a
very mean business. Yeah.
But on the other side of the coin, now you guys know how it feels when you have fucking Snooki at WrestleMania and we're like, what the fuck?
Bro, are you fucking kidding me, bro? Hey, listen, the best. Here's my little story, okay? Fucking, I got invited to the MTV Video Music Awards at the big venue. Bro, they gave me a parking pass. It was on the other side of the fucking world, right? I had to run to the red carpet sweating. When I get there, Snooki and company are rolling up on a Rolls Royce. Like,
that's funny.
I'm popping bottles.
Yeah, no, but my point with CM Punk is the other day, there was a guy that he like took someone's phone or something. Yeah. He's like, get that.
No.
And I'm like, you know what? That was his wife. Somebody was probably annoying the fuck out of her. And good. You can't just go.
Wait, he did what, man? I missed it.
The first video that went viral, he just walks up to a fan and slaps his phone out of his hand, right? And everybody's like, oh, what a dick. What's he doing? He just wants a photo, whatever. But like, when you see and I didn't know what it was. Even when I first saw it, I go, yeah, maybe I don't agree with his actions, but you also know what happened. But no, his wife and one of her really good friends were having an intimate moment, and the guy's like stalking him, keeps trying to film him, and they keep putting their hands up too and saying, leave us alone, go away, and he keeps filming her. And then so finally, CM Punk, their husband, walks over and slaps the phone off his hand, like, what the fuck are you doing? Should leave him alone. And then
wait, but why was she fingering her in public? I don't understand.
That would have been amazing. I was gonna say, I like lost my train of thought.
Sorry, man.
No, it was something about CM Punk.
The fans being creepy with the girls. Yeah,
the fans being creepy. What I like about you though is that you really are like. You're like, you got cut unfairly from the WWE. You're like, fuck it. I'm going to do my own thing. And then you went on the indie circuit. You went to what? Japan, Asia, right? You went to Mexico.
I've been all over. Korea, Japan, Australia, Mexico, Canada, Qatar, India, UK, Germany, France. Yeah.
Lucha Libre. Yeah. And then the guys you went up against, like I saw you against Rob Van Dam, who I freaking love Rob Van Dam.
Yep.
Sting, but you wouldn't beat up Sting because he was like your idol or something.
No, I gave him his though that was in AEW after the fact, but Sting was retired for like 6 years because he got paralyzed kind of temporarily, and then he came back, and then you know, he was there for a little bit, but I gave him his first bump, you know, after 6 years, I powerbombed him in the ring. And I was just talking about this too, actually. His, I just had an interview about a biography about him, talking about everything. And I remember feeling like, I tried not to think about it, because like, look, if I go out there, first of all, I gotta lay him out, so I can't be nice to him, right? I also can't kill him, but I can't like set him down, like, you know, and be like, here you go, let me take care of you. I go, but if I do everything right, which the powerbomb is not hard, and something by chance he gets hurt, it's my fault. It's 100% my fault. You know what I mean? Like, even though I did nothing wrong, it's my fault. So like, let me even think about that. And they obviously it all went fine. And the fans were all freaking out, and they all like were worried this thing was actually hurt, which was great. You know, that's what you want them. You want them to believe. But yeah, right when I came back, I was like, all right, that was pretty sweet. I just got the powerbomb Sting, because he was not was a big fan of his, but he was my very first wrestling action figure I got when I was like 6 years old, way back in the day for Christmas. So like, I was like, that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, no, everyone says he's the nicest guy. If you look up
him and Rey Mysterio, the two nicest guys in all of wrestling, for sure.
Yeah, because I watched Scott Steiner say how much the five guys he respects, and he was, and it was like Sting was one of the five guys that he.
I wasn't one of the five. Scott Steiner loves me.
I didn't see it, but no, I'm looking at, you have like 9 different names. How come you had so many names?
I mean, a lot of our monikers, I don't know. So Brian Cage, that's my name, right?
Dude, Brian Cage, Barry Burke, Brian Cage, Taylor, Cage.
I'll go through them all like real
Nightclaw.
Quick. So Brian Cage was my name. I had to change an FCW. They wouldn't let me keep it. So I had to go to Chris Logan. Chris was for Canyon. Logan was for Wolverine. Hold up a second.
Mayhem,
I love it. He's like, you know what I mean? This behind the scenes sort of a biography.
No, now I can't hear you. I think he's just talking.
He's in the Wi-Fi problem.
No. I thought my wife was yelling at me for something, but she wasn't. Yeah, the hot Latina rage was gonna come out. I thought, I was like, oh shit, house heat.
Bro. You missed the beginning segments where we had.
So then you were Cage.
So Brian Cage, then the Chris Logan, which was for Christopher Canyon, and Logan for Wolverine. I changed it to that in FCW. Then they gave me this, I came up with this Nightclaw, like Wolverine Batman kind of gimmick I had there. Brian Cage Taylor was just like a spoof thing in PWG, because I got teamed up with this guy, Ryan Taylor and Chuck Taylor. So I was like, oh, I should be Brian Cage Taylor. So we're all the Fighting Taylor boys. It's always like some sort of little thing that's like some sort of like one-off situation. But like, no, my name through and through has always been Brian Cage, like throughout the epitome of my wrestling career.
Now, there was a guy, Jason, who he made you grab his penis, right? He had this like guy where like
Joey Ryan.
Basically, his thing was, if you grab his penis and he goes like this, and then his penis would make you flip. And it seemed like the only guys that were doing this were Japanese guys, because everyone that he was flipping was like Japanese people. And then he got
a type.
Then he got me too'd out of the fucking business.
You're serious?
Yes.
So funny too. Like, I remember he sent me the video. This company called DDT in Japan that's like over the top. It's ridiculous, but it wasn't even his idea. He goes, dude, look what I'm doing tonight. Like this, or look what I did tonight. This place is out of control. But there's this gay. He's legit gay too, and this is a gay character, and he does the testicular claw. That's like his finish, right? And he's like, oh, maybe. And that's how he said it too. He goes, oh, maybe I grab finish, but maybe you no sell. And he goes, okay, why? He goes, oh yeah, maybe you no sell, maybe. You fire up, maybe I sell. And he goes, really? He goes, yeah, maybe you fire up, I sell, because big American penis, so big, so strong, I sell. And so I said, he goes, and then maybe I bump, maybe finish. And he's like, really? So he's like, this is out of control. But then it got so over, and it went so viral, then he just started doing it all the time.
So he was making all these wrestlers grab his penis.
Who would have thought that the guy to ask, grab my dick and twist it, would be like the guy that me too'd himself? What, bro? Did it really happen? Tell me what happened, Adam, because I don't believe you.
Well, did people? No, that really happened, but people refused to work with him, right? Because they didn't want to grab his penis.
Yeah, I don't want to grab his penis.
There was only a couple people that, like, most people didn't really have, because you weren't, like, I mean, you grabbed, like, in his crotch here, but it's not like you really grabbing his dick, right? You can work it.
You can work it? Bro, what are you talking about? If you grab his dick, you're working it. So, like, if he's
grabbed
down,
but you're not really grabbing his stuff. I mean, it was the easiest finish in the move, too. But, like, no, then, so during the old pandemic era, right, everyone started coming out with, you know, allegations and this and that about, you know, all these different sexual harassment.
Like, dudes were like, yo, this guy was doing his
just several girls for different guys. There's all kinds of different, you know, cases, and some caught fire, some didn't. But then this guy had several girls come out and be like, oh, hey, you know,
he had to practice the move. Was he saying that if you grab my penis, you'll do a flip? Was he saying, like, I need to practice?
Well, and it's funny because, like, yeah, that was his finish, but all the allegations didn't even involve the finish. It's just because he was very much a womanizer, if you will. So, yeah. Like, you know, he, which was his gimmick and his character, he was just being sleazy. But yeah, so he slept around a lot, and yeah, I mean, it didn't, I guess, turn out so well for him. So,
oh man, yeah, he got, now he's like out of the, I don't know what he's doing, but like,
yeah, no, he's Dowski from wrestling for sure. Like, and yeah, with that, he was super over, he was killing it, and like, and he's actually a really good wrestler. And then as more and more of that whole comedy bit got over, I mean, he could wrestle forever because he didn't have to do shit anymore. Like, it was
like that. Yeah. Well, isn't that kind of what Darby does? Like, he's this guy, Jason, who's like too cool for wrestling, so he'll just like stick out his foot and people go flying over it.
No.
Like,
Darby kills off. That's Orange Cassidy.
Oh, so what's that? Who's
you guys are unlocking brand new?
Yeah, there was one guy. There was one guy that, like, he was just not want to be there, and he would be too.
Yeah,
cool.
Orange Cassidy. Yeah, he acts like he doesn't care. Yeah.
And that's how he beats everybody.
So you brought Steiner. That's a really funny match. There's it's Joey Ryan and Orange Cassidy, who's the guy who doesn't care, versus me and Scott Steiner. And the look on Scott's face when I'm trying, because that's why they booked me too, because like I said, like, I am really cool with Scott. Scott does like me because I'm a body guy, right? So the look on Scott's face is I'm trying to explain to him about Joey Ryan's dick gimmick and then about Orange Cassidy's, you know, he doesn't care and fucking pretends to fight you. And he's like, is this a fucking work? Like, what is this? But he actually, which is crazy enough, he went along with it too, which is
that is so
incredible.
I could just picture it. That's so fun.
Oh, the yeah, two big monster guys and the two casual dick grabbing motherfuckers. I know. What
dude,
is going on?
There's a guy who's a pizza guy. You see the pizza guy?
Yeah, pizza guy's funny. Yeah, he's
the
great.
The guy, basically, the whole match, he's twirling a pizza. And then he shoots the pizza at you, and that's how he wins. Like, how does – is he a real pizza guy? How did that guy do that?
I don't know. He's actually pretty talented with it, too. Like, have you
seen – I met him. I know him. Bro, yeah. I'll tell you how he does that. Pure autism. Unadulterated autism,
dude,
bro.
His clips where he has the Bloodsport music in the background, and he's got his obstacle course in his backyard, and he's doing all the rolls and flats.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Commitment to the bit. That's what you call that, dude.
But I'm saying, like, why isn't the WWE signing that guy? Because that's a guy.
Well, it's funny, too, because right, they just signed that Danhausen guy who used to be with us in AEW. In fact, the only reason they signed him was because he was in AEW. But, like, that kind of stuff used to just get, like, with the dick grabbing, Orange Cassidy, all stuff. It was super over in the indies, but it's like it's a different demographic and a different market, right? You wouldn't normally see that stuff on like the main stage or on TV. But yeah. Slowly but surely, that super jokey, over the top, like complete bullshit stuff is getting more and more over. So,
well, I mean, they had Mr. Socko. They had Mr. fucking Socko, where the guy put his hand in a sock and beat you that way. I mean, dude, the best. Were you around when they had like the guy who was like, it was like right after 9/11? And Vince McMahon made one guy like the terrorist who was like beheading people. Like,
wow. Actually, I didn't even know that.
That's one of the only characters that ever got shit canned too. And he was super over as a heel. Yeah. And I remember like on UPN, where they had SmackDown at that time, like they're jumping the Undertaker. And I remember they had to put the little warning, like label, like the service broadcast system or whatever. It was like, this is just a skit. This isn't real. Blah, 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 blah. Cause people had all this backlash. And they were pushing him to the moon. And they're pushing the moon to just never mind, you're fired, which isn't even his fault because he did his job so well and he got so much heat. They're like, hey, we can't use you anymore because people
now
are
he's a school principal. Now he's a school principal.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
In like Rochester, New York.
Who? The Undertaker?
No, the guy that was like the terrorist. He was like,
oh, wow.
His name was like Muhammad. He was like Italian. He wasn't even Arabic.
Yeah.
Wait, he's a professor?
Yeah, he's like a.
So now he's killing America from the inside.
It was like, oh man, I honestly, I can't get enough of those, like Behind the Mat and Dark Side of the Mat and like all those. I just love
The Dark Side of the Ring stuff is done so well too. Like it's, you know, it's not always like good story, like happy stories, obviously, but they're interesting and entertaining stories, and the reenactment of them are done so well. Like it's really well produced.
Man, there was one on Doink the Clown where they basically just like fired the clown and replaced him with another clown, and nobody knew. And then the clown was like started taking crack because he was so depressed he couldn't be the clown.
Damn.
And then he had Dink the Clown.
I remember. Dude, I got a happy story on one of those. They came and interviewed me recently. I wonder how that's going to come out.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, I know.
That's really good. That's great for you, man.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, because remember the last one where you started spitting on everybody, it didn't go as well. So this is actually amazing news.
I just popped in my head. You're talking about Bully Beatdown. Obviously, I've seen that. But just not even too long ago, I don't even know how it popped up in my feed or where I saw it, if it was on YouTube, Instagram, whatever the case. But I remember watching you. You were beating somebody up for Fresno in the 5-5-9.
Fuck. I don't know. Probably.
I don't remember who it was. I just totally just popped my head. I don't know where. I remember just not that long ago. I mean, it was this year. So it was the last few months. I remember just seeing it randomly, and I'm like, oh, wow. So that – anyway, yeah, I used to live there in Fresno for quite a while. But I don't know if somebody that I lived there like knew and posted it, but I didn't realize too. Like, I totally forgot that you go in there and that guy, you would fight all the freaking the bullies as well. That's so rad.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we have like, man, that show has done wonders like for a lot of people. Like that I get the story of father and son watching it together and being something that people watched after school and being, so I was such a big part of so many people's martial arts journey that I have a big responsibility to them now. It's interesting that Bully Beatdown, something I kind of thought as like a one-off, like weird project, you know, it became so much bigger. And then it's been like a big inspiration to people. So now I feel a big resurgence. Oh, people have grown up now. So I think I taught a lot of people some lessons and, you know, I made a cultural impact. I feel humbled by the thought.
No, Brian, you got married to your beautiful wife on Lucha Libre.
Oh, that's cool.
No, we had a real wedding. So it's funny enough too, I proposed to her like 17 times. So I proposed to her for real. And then we never really announced it because I just got a relationship, whatever, and it's just private between us. And then we delayed the wedding because she got pregnant. And then it just went on forever. Then everyone just assumed we were married because we've been together for a while now and we were pregnant. You know, we had a kid, whatever. And then I re-proposed to her after I married, someone got a ring cleaned and like upgraded. And I re-proposed to her and said, so just give it to her in the ring. And people didn't even know that we were engaged. And then Impact loved it. At TNA, and then they wanted to do the angle too, so we did it there as well, and then we got married finally for real, and then we had a wrestling wedding like a month later.
Wait, did TNA somebody you at like the wedding on the TV like at Impact or something?
No, so like we actually had a really really good wedding episode. So we didn't have we got married fine because usually the wedding always gets like, you know, disastered. We actually got married and stuff, but then our celebration in the ring, a guy goes to hit me with a glass bottle and I duck it and then he hits my wife and then she gets taken out. So
she's a beautiful Mexican woman. Was her family
Nicaraguan?
Now was her family like, what the fuck is this? I want a real wedding and now she's getting hit with bottles? Or was that
No. We saw the real wedding too. That was before. After.
Wait, to be clear, because I don't know, she's also a wrestler. She's a performer.
She does a lot of stuff. But she got into the wrestling world as a ring announcer first, and then she's done some matches and obviously like physicality. But she's not like, I'm gonna call her a wrestler.
No, oh, okay. She's smoking hot, performer. Has four kids. You know, you would never know it. She's in great shape and she keeps him in check. Even last night at my comedy show, he was laughing and then she was hitting him during the jokes.
She laughed at all your stuff, but there was one time you made some wife joke, right? What, I don't know which one it was. And I laughed, and she looked at me and she goes, I don't know why you're laughing at that. I was like,
Now, do you do jujitsu or boxing or any?
I'll do strike. You know what's funny? I'm actually going to Florida next week, and I'll usually do some striking over there at ATT because Dan Lambert's a real big fan of wrestling. I usually work with the guy, Hollywood Steve. And then I roll around a lot too, just because I enjoy that a lot. But I mean, I'm not like, it's not like I'm like actively doing it week after week or like trying. It's definitely more of just like a side hobby thing because I enjoy it and I've loved UFC since UFC 6 when I was a little kid. Oh. But it's not, like nothing that I'm like actively pursuing to ever try
now,
to do.
Now, Jason, if you were training him, because Jason's now a trainer.
I'm not a trainer. Everybody gets the vernacular. Well, I'm a coach.
All right, you're a coach. All right, so Brian Cage walks into your gym. You see him on the AEW.
First of all, I'll be like, yo, get this bodybuilder. What the fuck? And then I'll be like, damn, this guy moved good. So I'll be happy, right? Then what do you mean? What are we training for?
He's got a big fight coming up. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Who are we fighting?
Daniel Cormier.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good. We're going to stay on the outside. We're not going to clinch. We're not going to clinch at all. We're going to kick his legs. We're going to move. I think that we're going to moonsault off the fucking top of the cage and smash this motherfucker.
Well, I love that too because Cormier is a huge fan of wrestling too. I love it. Pro wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I could see a world where you guys could do like a dope ass MMA kind of work using some of your throwing skills, some of his. He like do some reversals. I could engineer a match where it would be like an MMA fight where you guys could both showcase your excellence at throwing.
There is a shoot style.
AEW before, bro. I was just like out of prison and I sat in the fucking Buffalo Wild Wings or some shit and look on the screen and the guys are doing like a MMA fight, but in cage in Florida.
We have that gimmick, yes. But no, there's like there's an actual promotion to Bloodsport. There's a couple of them, but like Josh Barnett runs that.
Yeah.
They have the work. That's what we call it. We call it like a work shoot. So it's like a shoot style, but obviously you're still working together to create an outcome. But yeah, but it's a more, you know, MMA based instead of pro wrestling based situation. But then you throw in a little bit of pro wrestling for some flavor, some flair. It's cool. It's definitely a different flavor of ice cream, but I like it.
And then finally, I see you're in a movie that Steven Spielberg directed.
Yeah, yeah, in June. Yeah.
What is this?
Right.
Disclosure Day. So, that was actually thanks to Chavo too. So he hits me up, and we actually
Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this guy, by the way. Yeah. Please continue.
Thank you.
So he hits me up about doing this TV show, and then it gets postponed. He goes, "Hey, we'll come back around to it." He goes, "But I have this other situation that that you might want to do that you sound perfect for." So he gives me all the details for it. I contact the person. I submit everything they asked me to submit for. I don't hear anything, which is kind of like how it goes usually, right? I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I don't even know exactly what it is because they're kayfabing it. They're keeping it under wraps. So I get hit up by the AD. He goes, "Hey, I just sat down, watched all your stuff with the director. Please call me as soon as you can." So I call him and he goes, "Yeah, man, I sat there and I watched it and Steven loved it. He was talking about this. He said, 'You're perfect. You're exactly what he wants.' Yeah." And he kept saying his name. And I go, "Wait, who's Steven?" Cause I don't know anything about anything. And he goes, "Oh, the director, Steven Spielberg." And I'm like, "What?" Steven Spielberg watched me and goes, "Oh, I want this guy. This guy." Like, I go, "I don't even care how small the role is. The fact that you just said Steven Spielberg watched me is like, this is the fucking guy I want. This is the guy I need." And then he's even calling to go, "Hey, he wants you to fight someone too, and he wants you to bring whoever you want, basically. Like pick one of your, whoever you're comfortable with, whoever your friends, whoever you want to give like a rub to." And so I got my buddy Lance Archer, who I was a tag team with in AEW, to be a part of the movie as well.
So you guys are fighting in the movie, and you're like playing like a cyborg kind of thing character?
I'm not a cyborg. No, no, no. And it's funny too because it's an alien movie. Well, I guess maybe I shouldn't. I mean, it's like a
come on, bro. Well, who do you fight? What was the scene?
I mean, it's on Wikipedia.
It's already up. But it comes out 2 months. You got 2 months to wait.
All right, fine, bro.
You're in a movie with Steven Spielberg in 2 months. I mean, how fucking cool! From backyard wrestling and no high school wrestling experience, no football, to being a nerd that only talked to Aaron Rodgers because you liked wrestling to now being in a movie with Steven Spielberg, to being the champion of TNA, to being fighting all over the world, having four kids, a hot Ecuadorian wife.
Bro, please pipe down on people's wives. Jesus Christ.
A hot Nicaraguan wife. Okay, look at
you. No, she's smoking hot though. It's funny too. You keep saying that, which I do think is funny because even last night I was like, "Fuck, babe, you look so hot." I was saying all last night and even today I'm like, "Bro, she's
bro." Yeah, she's encourage him. Don't encourage him, bro. He's doing creepy things on everybody's wife. Like, your beautiful wife.
Look, I understand it. I know a lot of my friends have crushes on my wife, but one of the comedian was on before you. He said something about like, if you're in Vegas, like he's like, you don't want to wake up next to your wife. If you wake up next to your wife, you did something wrong. It's the last thing you want. And I looked at my wife and I go, no, I want to wake up next to her.
Yeah, you're good.
It's hard to go above her. I mean,
you're perfect. You're doing great, man. And thanks for the support. Thanks for being such a good guy, a good friend.
Bro, thanks for coming on this show, bro.
No worries.
Great man. And I hope you have a great weekend, brother.
I appreciate it, man. So, well, hopefully the shows go better tonight and tomorrow.
and where can people find you?
I mean, what are you talking about? Social media, just put Brian Cage in anything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. I'll be back on TV real soon on TNT and TBS. And then I actually got a handful of independent third-party bookings, which I'm excited about just because, as you mentioned, I don't know if you know, I tried three major knee surgeries last year. So I was out from like basically a whole year of last year. And I've just got back into it. I've been cleared for a couple months, but to go back out like WrestleMania weekend, had a few matches, and then I'm pretty much booked every weekend for the next couple months, all over the place. I'm really excited just because I love pro wrestling. So to get back out and do normal Brian Cage stuff is exciting.
Well, thank you, man, and I'll see you soon, Brian.
All right, man. Take care. Good talking to you guys.
Yeah, bro.
All right, that was Brian Cage. What a nice guy. I kept looking at his chest.
I mean, how could you not, baby? That damn thing is enormous. This guy bench presses buses, bro.
Dude, what the fuck, man? That guy, I mean,
the screen zoomed in on your homosexuality.
Can you
right
imagine?
Now.
Can you imagine, like, you get to jail and that's your cellmate? I mean, are you happy?
I have. No, one time I got in jail and my cellmate was 6'8", black dude who played for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Who was it? Was it Clyde Drexler?
His name was Tone. His name was Anthony Roberts.
So yeah, you guys were friends.
We became friends because he was shocked at me because I wasn't afraid of him at all. And he was like surprised. And he's like, and I was like, yeah, I'm a pro fighter. I have sparring partners about as big as you. I ain't worried about this at all. And he's like, God damn, we going to be boys then. I was like, yeah, we were. That's and then crazy. Plus, he got me out of some trouble too because the guys were starting to get angry and gang up on me. And he fucking shut it down, bro.
Oh, I have to ask you. Yeah. I watched the guy who won, your kid, the kid that you're training.
Yeah.
Posted a video of the whole gym jumping him.
He's jumping, Bob, bro. Really, they were defending themselves. This guy is a firecracker, bro. He'll fight anybody, anywhere,
dude,
anytime.
It was like 300. It like literally.
Listen, the guy is not afraid.
This is your gym.
You can say many things about him. He's not a pussy. He's not afraid of anyone.
Did you have to break that up?
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm the only one who got really injured in that whole thing, bro. Because they jammed me over a bench.
Talk me through it. You're coaching somebody.
Man, look, I don't even want to talk about it until I talk
on Instagram.
With Langerica. Yeah, but he didn't. Bro, to be honest, this guy is bad, but. He brought that on himself, okay? He picked the fight with everyone. And everybody had that was his 11th chance at the gym. I had stopped him getting kicked out of the gym three times.
So this is after his last win?
Yes, bro. He cannot keep it in
that
under wraps.
That always happens after guys win. It's,
I know.
Guys always win. And a lot of times, they leave their gym. They go, I'm too good for this. I don't need this. I'm
you
not
don't realize what brought him. What brought him his success is in large part that gym. So yeah.
there's a video of him fighting 30 guys at the gym, but he's like, I got jumped. But it looked like he ran into the mob of people.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's like hard to say you got jumped when you're actively swinging at people when they are telling you to leave. You're supposed to leave the gym. You're supposed to leave. Nobody's stopping you from leaving, but you come back and punch guys. It's like, okay,
so are you training them on your own now? Or
I mean, look, I don't know. It's really up in the air, okay? Because I don't know if this man can't be professional, how am I supposed to coach him? If I can't take you anywhere, then how am I supposed to coach you? You're going to train. You're going to be training in the heavy bag in the backyard. You're going to be training by yourself.
I was on my Instagram feed, and I thought it was a joke. Like, you know, people are like, oh, this is a funny sketch.
No. I have to clear the air with this entire thing. Like, I have to, I don't know, re-interview him. This whole thing needs to be squashed. Now, it's a big drama.
Was this Ian's gym?
No, hell no. Ian moved to goddamn Ireland.
Yeah, he moved to Ireland.
I know, it's ridiculous. So no, I'm at Matador Training Center all the time. I got the heavyweight. The heavyweight.
He's definitely the Matador.
He definitely got fucking. He got the bull, bro. He got the horns. You know what I mean? Them dumbass. He got gored in the anus right now, bro.
This is like a movie though, where like that's the opening scene. And you're the guy.
You might wonder how I got here. It's like a bunch of people stalking him. I know, dude. I know.
And then you take him under your wing and you take him through your whole life. And you go, this is where I was. This is what I did. Because I remember I was there. I wasn't there in the very beginning, Jason, but I was there when you first got signed back to the UFC. I was there when the Ultimate Fighter. I was there when you got the car. I was there when you fucking this. I was there at the... This is a collect call from inmate 327.
Man, what? It's a long journey. Yeah, it's a long journey, you know. And here I am back up, climbing up the damn charts once again.
Yeah, you got your own Vice docuseries about.
I got everything, dude. So I got everything, but I know how now to be humble. This guy has some trouble being humble.
You never fought the whole gym, though.
I mean, I'll fight the whole bar.
You've never fought the whole gym.
See, because I have a lot of respect for my coaches and whoever's gym it is, I realize that, you got to be really cool with these people. They're helping you.
Plus, you had Anderson Silva, Jake Ellenberger, and...
These guys, man, Jesse is a very talented fighter, but that doesn't always come with the best discipline and professionalism outside. You can be a very talented fighter and only have skills in the gym, that doesn't convert to business and being smart, making good decisions. In fact, some would argue it's the opposite. You're more impulsive, you're more angry. It's a tough
Wasn't that the Bad News Bears where the kid was like, I fought the whole third grade?
And he did. Like, bro, listen. He fought the entire elementary school, okay? Because that's how much brain power is in those punches. Everybody was being a dumbass. Hey, I'm going to tell you, too. It was the gym. Everybody there was being dumb. Like, it was my fault as the coach. I'm going to tell you. I needed to separate him like about a minute before that all went down. Maybe 30 seconds.
It's not your fault.
You do your best as a coach.
No, unless you say go in there and fight the whole gym, that's not your fault. Okay. And plus, maybe you get some gang members that join, people that like
getting dumped. Do not put any labels on us. I ain't trying to get no fucking RICO case because your ass is labeling.
People want to get jumped in.
There ain't no gang members in the gym, bro.
People get jumped in.
No, ain't no, bro. Well, listen, I guess we're in a gang together now. You guys are assholes, man. I'm not.
They have bloods and crosses, MMA.
Look, most of those guys are very professional, but you go ahead and you're sparring with everybody, then that's your fault. If you're, you need to keep your focus on the work at hand.
Well, normally, like wrestling, we used to go, you've been sharked, where you get in the middle and you go one. This is sort of the opposite, where everyone just goes.
You got minnowed, motherfucker. You got chummed. Everybody chummed his ass because he was fighting everyone. It's like, you can't do that in common. I don't know.
What do you have coming up?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care. What do you want me to promote? Just look at my Instagram. I'm doing goddamn live streams all the time. That's really where it's at. I'm going to try to get another one. We have so much footage at this point. I'm going to have to hire a team of editors because I keep coming with bangers, Adam. I don't know how I'm doing it, bro.
Well, you're really good at what you do. And thank you.
Thanks, bro. Thanks. Great show, man. Great show. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Love you, man. Talk to you soon.